We return today to John chapter 3, verse 16, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said to Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yesterday I said this text sets before us the simple gospel, because it tells us in clear terms what God in love did to save sinners. Yesterday we thought of God's love, and I want us to move on a little now and think of God's gift. God gave his only begotten Son. It's an interesting thing to realize that this is a fulfillment of some very, very important Old Testament prophecies. In Isaiah 42 and verse 6, in chapter 49 and verse 8, and then in chapter 55 and verse 4, you have a reference to God giving his Son as a covenant. Time does not allow us to pursue that thought in any detail, but I want you to understand that God entered into a covenant, a pact with his Son. Isaiah 53 gives us very clearly the terms of that covenant, where the Father said to the Son, if your soul will make a sacrifice, an offering for sin, then certain things are going to happen, certain blessings are going to be given, and you can wrap them all up in the salvation of his people for all eternity. And now comes the time for the fulfillment of all those prophecies. And God's gift is not a gift of some mere created being. God's gift is the gift of his own dear Son. He did not give us a created angel. God could create a million other angels to take the place of the one he would send. But God gave us his only begotten Son, the second person of the Trinity. He gave him by means of what is called the incarnation. John chapter 1 verse 14 spells it out. The Word, that is the Son of God, was made flesh. He took to himself a true humanity, a human body, a human soul, and he united that human nature with himself, so that being God and man, he would first of all be the mediator. God gave him to be the mediator between God and man. Being God, he could satisfy God. Being man, he could take the place of man. He could put his hand on the head of a mere creature and his other on the throne of the eternal and unite God and man in a perfect reconciliation. He is the mediator between God and man. There is no one can bring you to God except Jesus Christ. No pope, no priest, no pastor, no preacher, no religion, no religious rite, no religious observance, no work of man, no payment that you could make. No one, nothing can bring you to God except Jesus Christ. God gave him to be the mediator. There is one God, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. God gave his Son to be the recoverer of lost souls. The Lord Jesus speaks of himself as the good shepherd. In Luke chapter 15, he tells the parable of a lost sheep and how the shepherd went seeking for that sheep, and he sought until he found it. And what did he do? He picked it up. He put it on his shoulders. He brought it back. He recovered it. The Lord Jesus is the great recoverer because he's the great redeemer. In him we have redemption through his blood. In order to do this, he had to die an atoning death, shed his blood to put away, first of all, the wrath of God against our sin, and put away our sin that incurred that wrath. By so doing, he is the redeemer and the recoverer of lost souls. There is no other. God gave him to be the prophet, to bring glad tidings, to bring the message of God, the one way of salvation. He gave him, as I've indicated, to be the sacrifice. Here in his love, the Bible tells us that God sent his Son to be the propitiation, the sacrifice to put away the wrath of a sin-hating God against our sins. God commendeth his love toward us, Romans 5:8 tells us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God gave him to be our king. There are some people who want to receive Christ as a savior from hell, but they don't want him as their Lord, their master, and their king. You cannot receive Christ as savior while deliberately rejecting him as your Lord and your king. Today, the gospel commands all men everywhere to repent. The gospel commands that we kiss the Son, that we embrace the Son, that we believe on God's dear Son, that we come to him, bowing before him as poor, lost, guilty sinners, and take him on the terms that are set before us in Scripture. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. God's gift. And just a quick word about God's purpose. This is very important in considering the simple gospel. God purposed that no believer should perish. God purposed that every believer in Christ should have everlasting life. Now, this is real. It is a personal possession. It is a present possession. Some people think, you're being very presumptuous to say, I have been saved. I now possess eternal life. No, the Bible says the very opposite. This is a personal, present possession. And it's also a permanent possession. God does not save us for a day or two, or a week or two, or a year or two. God saves his people who believe on Christ for all eternity. He gives them eternal life. That is eternal blessedness, sinless, holy happiness in fellowship with God for all eternity. Do you have this possession? Have you received Jesus Christ? Make sure you waste no time in bowing the knee and receiving Christ as your Lord and your Savior. My head.